Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and 3 from the NLT. Corruption of the human race. Then the people began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the beautiful woman and took any they wanted as their wives. You know, and when you study this, you realize the sons of God's here is making reference to fallen angels that took on wives on earth, and they had kids with them. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal life span will be no more than 120 years. Now, if you remember, before this, people used to live like 600, 700. Man, can you imagine being 300 years old? You know, there is greater grace for our physical bodies too. You know, because now, I mean, once you're 50, like Ken just said, we'll soon be 50, and I don't feel like I was 25 anymore. You know, because yeah, your body is going down, but your spirit, man, gets stronger and stronger. You know, our spirit will never get old. Your real you is your spirit. You live in your body and you have a soul. That's why this body will die. Every day we wake up, we are walking or moving towards the grave because of the curse. Okay? And then from here, from this verse, God is saying, man, I am tired of the perversion of the human, the corruption of the human race. They live too long. So therefore, I am going to limit it to 120 years. And I don't know. I've heard people live 130. I've never seen it. But have you guys known anybody that live longer than 120? Sorry, I've heard people live 115, not 130. You know, so, but, and the Bible says in Psalm, our age is limited to 70 and 80 years old to the more robust people, okay? And then jump in verse 5 in Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness. Everybody say wickedness. You know, wickedness is anything that morality can condemn. Wicked. When you call someone wicked, they're evil. You know, their thought pattern is evil. Their actions are evil. And it says the Lord observed that people were wicked in everything they thought or imagined was constantly and totally. So they were wicked in their thoughts and in their action, in their imagination. Verse 6, so the Lord was sorry. In other version, maybe your Bible says the Lord repented. That doesn't mean God repented of sin. It means God felt so bad that he created men, you know? And then he says it broke his heart. You know, when God looking at the wickedness, the corruption, the wars, people dying, when he look at what's happening on earth, it breaks his heart. I pray, I say, God, you break my heart for what's breaking your heart. You know, when someone is in bondage, when someone is just living in darkness, it breaks God's heart. John 3:16, what does it say? For God, what? Help me out. So who among us would give our son, our daughters, to die to rescue the world? No, never. No, none of us would do it. But that's the truth. God so loved the world, what he did? He gave his son. That whoever believed in the son will not perish. The second flood. There is a second flood coming. As a matter of fact, the flood, what's coming, is worse than the flood. It's the end of the world. Okay? And then verse 7, and the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the earth, from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy everything. All the people, the large animal, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I even made them. Everybody say, but. You know, the word but here, for you all who study English, The word but here means there was something, there's a statement, but then there's something that's going to be said in contrary to what have been said. That makes sense? Okay? It says, but Noah found, what did Noah found? Favor with the Lord. Now, if you just go back, you look, what kind of society was the world, I mean, Noah living in? A corrupted society. A society where people discarded God. A society where people were wicked. There was a lot of violence, and you can go back to, I mean, if we keep going to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man. Everybody say righteous man. The only blameless person living on earth. I mean, that make reference to his community, his time. So God is looking on earth. He's like, man, can I find someone blameless? Wow. God repented, said, I'm sorry that I even created men. But, you know what I pray for you and I? As this world's getting wicked and wickeder, what's the word? More wicked. As the world gets more wicked, that the Holy Spirit would grant us, you and I, grace, that God would find us blameless, righteous. But this is not something that God's gonna come and make you blameless. Yes, Jesus paid the price on the cross so you and I can be blameless. But for me and you to live a righteous life, we have to make a choice. See, what God is doing with me and Kendra, He's pruning me to make me blameless. He's pruning me to make me a righteous man. And I like it. I want to be a righteous man. You with me? And then it goes on. It says, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close relationship, or other word, who says in fellowship. Some other Bible verse would say in close. What other words your Bible says? He walked with God. So he was driving to Gatlinburg. And God was sitting in the back seat, and he didn't tell God, please, don't be backseat drivers. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw the earth had become corrupted and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. And I tell you, looking at what's happening on our world here. You'll hear news of wars, rumors of wars. When you hear those things, of course we pray. We pray for everyone suffering in wars, you know, being affected by wars. We pray for peace. But you know, it's going to get worse as the day of our Lord gets closer and closer. Do not let your heart be troubled. But this is a time for you to anchor yourself. Get out of religion. Get out of your mess. Repent of your sins. Make things right with the Lord. Make things right with people. Get rid of bitterness. Make your life a worship. Make your life be a sanctuary to Jesus. You know, okay, let's say somebody accused you of doing something and you didn't do it. Stop justifying yourself. Just say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Because you want peace. Take the blame. In my relationship with Kendra, I'm like, I want so much peace, honey. You be right. Okay, I'm sorry. I just want peace. It's not like, you know, we're having healthy conversation, but I want peace nowadays. I want peace so much that when I sleep, I'm like, I'm peaceful. I don't want back pain. You know, bitterness causes back pain. Anxiety causes migraine. You don't digest your food right when you are always stressed. It is not in the plan, in the will of the Lord for our lives to live like that. Verse 13, so God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy the all living creatures. Verse 14, build a large boat. Okay, so then I'm not going to read, you can read the rest, but I want you to see this. If we jump to, the last verse says, verse 22 says, then Noah did everything exactly as God commanded. Go home and read the rest of the chapter, and then chapter 7, you see what happened. But at the time God told Noah to build this ark, studies shows that Noah was about 500 years old. At the time he got into the boat, he was 600. So let's say an average between 80 and 100 years. Now can you imagine? I'm reading this, I'm like, wow. For 100 years, Noah is preaching, saying, guys, repent, there's a flood coming. God's gonna destroy the earth. Jesus is coming back. Repent of your sins. Make things right with God. Don't just be religious. For 100 years, nobody repented. Nobody changed. Some people mocked him. As a matter of fact, some people thought he lost us a bunch of screws in his head. Because the guy was building a boat. A big, large, 450 long boat. On top of a hill or a mountain. They laughed at him. Noah is a good leader. He was able to be saved himself and only his three sons and their families. That's why I thank God for my kids, for my children. But I am more forever devoted, not only to serve my kids, but to remain in this statement. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not going to be faithful to God according to how you respond to my preaching, to God's word. You better repent, because time is coming. Time is short, guys. Don't miss it. God wants you to be blameless. He wants you to be a righteous person. That's why, you know, don't get involved in all these things out there. You know, all these politics, you know, people become so like about on each other's face. For what? No one on earth can save us. There's no government. Some may trust in chariots, some may trust in horses, some may trust in government, but we trust in the Lord, the heaven's army. That's it, guys. You know, when I read this, and I was just like, well, let's just quick take a couple minutes. What does it mean to be blameless? To be righteous, man, a righteous person is someone who is morally right. To be blameless means to be above reproach. You know, a lot of time when we talk about these words, they make reference to church leaders, church leadership. But as a follower of Jesus, you must be blameless. Come on, help me out. Let's speak it over yourself. I must be blameless. I must be blameless. And you know what? I want to be blameless. And let me tell you this. The more you surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, the more you read the Bible and you apply the Bible, you obey the word of God, the easier it is to be blameless. Yeah, because now the word of God become your mirror. You look in the mirror and you see what you look like and then you fix it, right? And some of us, we like our mirrors, you know? You know? Some of us even do a little smile in the mirror. You know, because you want to see when you smile what you look like. You know, I do it. You know, and I know you do it too. You know, so to what does it mean to walk close in close fellowship with the Lord? Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. It says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. This verse is making reference to Jesus, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. So stop seeing yourself as a bad person. You know, your past does not dictate your present. Your past does not dictate where you're going. Right now, I'm righteous person. How many saints we have here? Saints. You are saints. Stop beating on yourself, poor person, you know, bad person. If anyone is in Christ, this person, you become a new creation. Your old is gone. And then, you know, the sad thing, people hold our past against us. And when people do that, give them grace. Let time, somehow, someday, sooner or later, they will realize you're not the same person anymore. Forgive yourself. You know, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 20-21, it means you and I have been accepted as righteous. So therefore, we have been treated as righteous in God's sight. So God, when he looked at Jesus on the cross, he saw our sins. You know, Angie said, there's a word Angie said, no going back, what was the word? No turning back, no going back. I know people right now who can't move forward because their past is haunting them. Their past is holding them their mind. And so they're going back. There's a verse in the Bible, it says, you know, if the little thing you have, you don't use it, it will be taken away from you and be given to others. There's a deep explanation into this. We'll get into that sometimes later. But God wants you to use what you have. If the knowledge you have, they say knowledge is power, but if you're not applying knowledge, it's nothing. If you're not living by the knowledge you know to live by, you won't prosper. How do you gain wisdom? Wisdom is also knowledge applied. You become wise by knowing and living by what you know. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy. I want to read this. To be blameless. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Do you have it on the screen for me? Thank you, brother. So as a church leader, a church leader must be a man or woman whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home. He must be able to teach. Verse 3. Actually, that's fine. Let's go to Titus chapter 1, verse 5 to 9 from the NLT. Paul says, I left you, Titus, in the island of Crete so you could complete our work here and appointed elders in each town as I instructed you. An elder must live a blameless life. He must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who don't have a reputation of being wild or rebellious. An elder is a manager of God's household. He must live a blameless life. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent or dishonest with money. Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home. He must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. Right there, you should underline these two words. A devout and disciplined life. You must discipline yourself. Spiritual discipline is great. It's good to fast. You feel you are spiritually empty? Fast. Come to the sanctuary. Tell me. You know, can I be in the sanctuary for 5 hours? Yes. Turn your phone off. Turn your phone off. Turn your TV off. Get off media, social media for a couple of days. Turn off the voices speaking in your mind. Get together with God. There is life, guys. There is life. If you're dying dry, it's not because there's not enough water. Jesus is the source of life. If you're dying of starvation spiritually, there is the bread of life. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. Then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. The qualification of the elder, sometimes called what we call overseer or a deacon. But you see this, I would say anybody that serves in the church, including people back there on the camera. Because sometimes like, well, yeah, the pastor, the elders, the deacons, the overseer. Really? It's all of us. It's all of us. Of course, people who are like me, my life should be an example to you. As long as I'm following Jesus, you follow my example. But sometimes people stop. They fell from following Jesus and they start doing their own things. And they become lukewarm. And what do we say? A lukewarm Christian is a worse advertisement for a good God. A lukewarm Christian is a worse, because you know, you're like one foot in the world, one foot in the church. No. When you turn up your tap water, your faucet, you don't get salt water, you get clear water. If it's salty, please don't drink it. Call a plumber. I'm not advertising for my plumbing business, okay, guys? Oh, man. Let's stand. Let us stand. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Would you lift up your hands towards heaven, Father? Oh, Lord, thank you. Father, we call out your name. We thank you for the work you're doing in our lives. Lord, we submit to you. Lord, we're acknowledging that we are nothing without you, Lord. And as for us here at Restoration Church, we after your heart, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning that you create a deep desire in our hearts to go deeper, like some of the us shared. Deep cries out to deep. You're calling us to be blameless. I didn't even have time yet to go into what it means to walk in fellowship with God. What I mean, walking in fellowship with you is walking in step with you. You know, Lord, we want that. This morning we ask that you would hold us and also give us the ability and the desire to hold you back, Father. Lord, we also pray right now for our brothers and sisters who are just backsliding, people who are just going back. They're so discouraged. Father God, we pray that the Holy Spirit will go and minister to them. You know them by name, God. You know them by name, Holy Spirit, God. Lord, we pray, Lord God, we beg for mercy. We ask that you, just the work you're doing in our lives, we ask that you'd cause them to repent of their sins, cause them to repent of their stubbornness, Holy Spirit. God, you are the living God, and we serve you. We love you, Lord. Father, we thank you for giving us this grace and opportunity to be together. You know, you are in our midst, and we honor you. Thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. And as we go from this place, Lord, I ask that your presence would dwell with us, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us. You know, like it says in 3 John, that we would prosper as our soul is prosper. Everything we touch, we would prosper in our relationships with others. We would prosper in our businesses. We would prosper at our jobs, God. We would find favor, not only with you, but because we have favor with you, we find favor with others. Lord, let your peace rule our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. God's people said, amen.